All right, welcome back to another episode of the Badass Lifter podcast. I've been traveling, so as I mentioned in my last episode, my fiance is travel nursing, and I am joining her kind of on that journey, and we've officially at our first place, so pretty excited about that. I am still settling into where I am living right now, so that's why there wasn't a podcast episode last week. Apologies for that. Since I'm still getting set up, I wanted to share this guest episode that I was on, and next week we'll have more of the regular kind of content. This is from the Hashimoto's Roadmap podcast. So, Natalie, I'm going to say Guevara, she reached out to me on Threads to talk to me about kind of like my weight neutral approach to training. And yeah, we had this conversation. I thought it went really, really well. I'm going to put the link to her podcast, Instagram, down below so you can check out her stuff, especially if you have Hashimoto's. She puts out really good content, and I encourage you to check it out. But yeah, I hope you enjoyed me being a guest on this episode. And here it is.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. I am super excited for a couple of reasons today. We have a special guest on the show, and this is, I haven't told him this, but this is actually the first male guest that has been on the podcast. So I'm super excited about that. And the second piece that I'm really excited about is his specific niche in the health and wellness industry. So Mark, I'm not going to butcher your bio, but I would love if you would just share with listeners who you are, what you do, and a little bit of the backstory of how you got here.
No, thanks. Thanks for having me. Honored to be the first male guest. Yeah. So my approach to training is known as like weight neutral, which for anyone who doesn't know what that is, instead of focusing on weight loss or aesthetics, I instead focus on like making people stronger, helping them enjoy training, just helping them become consistent with the training process outside of the focus on weight loss or aesthetics. So I don't do anything like there's no weigh-ins, there's no before and after photos, there's no like body measurements, things like that. Like we're just really focused on making you comfortable in the lifting process and like feeling strong without like the focus on aesthetics. So, which I know is not the norm, and I'm happy to talk about what that looks like in terms of training.
Yeah, absolutely. We're definitely going to unpack that, but I would love if you would share a little bit about your history. Like, how did you get here? Specifically being a male training women, I'm just going to call out the elephant in the room. There's a lot of super young male trainers that are training women in this space. And it's really, really refreshing to see kind of the other side to where you have, because I mean, I'll be honest, I still go to the gym and I see these super young guys training women who are 40 plus and pushing them to quote burn more calories. So when I came across you on, I think it was Threads that I first found you, but Instagram, I was like, wow, this is fascinating. So share with us how you got here.
Yeah, no, I know I'm not the norm. So I'm happy to explain why. Specifically why I focused on training women. So for my own training experience, I definitely came from a place of like not confident in the lifting process and just personally very like low confidence, low self-esteem. And strength training really helped me with that. Like just the process of being able to lift more weights and becoming stronger and more comfortable in the gym really helped my own confidence both in and out of the gym. When I started training people in person, I eventually became a trainer. I noticed that a lot of the women that I worked with went through a very similar experience where the ones who were focused on just the weight on the scale or just using training to change how their body looked didn't seem like a fun process. It seemed like very emotional. They did not enjoy training. A lot of training was for punishment reasons, either for like food they ate or for what they looked like. But the ones who were focused on strength, like they just wanted like a stronger, they just want to be able to like deadlift 200 pounds or like they wanted to do their first pull up or whatever it might be, actually went through a very similar experience I did, which was not super comfortable in the gym, not sure how strong they can actually be. And then through the process of strength training, realized they were capable of more than they thought. And their own confidence was built not only just in the gym, but like in regular activities and like regular everyday life. And so the reason why I focus on women specifically is that it just happened to be, I happen to resonate more with that story than just like the typical male journey. I don't know why that was the reason. I just happened to like fit in that gap. But I do understand that there's like not a lot of men who train women exclusively. And I know that there's some people like that. Some people don't like that. I've got some interesting comments in the past, but there's, yeah. So that's kind of the reason why I chose to work with women pretty much exclusively.
That's fantastic. And I definitely resonate. And I think a lot of the listeners will, with just feeling more confident about yourself through strength training. And the people that I work with, definitely, you know, some of our early conversations are about confidence being a look. And I think I think strength training, and for me personally, lifting weights is really something that helped me transform confidence as a look into confidence is a feeling. So I really love helping people understand the empowerment piece behind strength training. So you are not the norm. I had my journey with strength training and I really resonate with some of the things that I'm seeing with women. Now I'm a personal trainer. What did it look like to go from, I became a certified personal trainer to I'm now actually working with these people and carrying them through this specific journey?
Yeah. So I think the weight neutral approach isn't really taught. I think, and for that reason, I think most people don't start weight neutral. I definitely didn't. I definitely started as a weight loss coach. And I think as a trainer, you feel like that has to be the priority, because when you hear about, like, you know, why do people want training? It's because they want to lose weight. Like, that kind of seems to be the norm. I kind of switched over to weight neutral slowly over time, just because I realized, like, training for weight loss is really, really tough. It's also, as a trainer, it's really hard to guarantee, which I think is also, like, a tough issue, where, like, I can make someone stronger, like, without question. Like, if someone does the program and they're, like, consistent with it and they're improving form, like, you will get stronger as part of the process. Losing weight has a lot of different factors, both, like, in and out of the gym that exist, right. And mostly out of the gym, if we're being honest, that, like, to say you can work with me for, like, 3 to 6 months and that, like, you will lose weight for sure, I think a lot of trainers are kind of exaggerating what their ability is at that point, just because exercise, especially on its own, doesn't seem to be very good for weight loss. It seems to be pretty good for like weight maintenance, but in terms of like actually lowering the scale, it just doesn't seem like, as trainers, we can guarantee weight loss. So I don't love that focus of, and I know that's like why 90% of people go to personal trainers and like the original. But I think we need to start focusing on, like, we still want people to exercise, we still want people to become stronger, because there's like a ton of benefits there. But those benefits might not reflect on the weight on the scale. But they will better your life. So I think we still want people to exercise, but maybe we want to change how they look at training.
So, and I agree with you completely. I think most people do wind up coming to a trainer because they want to lose weight, whether it's something they decided on their own, or a lot of the people that I work with have been told by doctors that they need to lose weight for their autoimmune conditions, which is rarely the case. But if most women are coming to trainers to lose weight, what does the initial conversation look like when a woman hires you? Do they come into it knowing that there's no focus on weight loss, or is this something that you help educate them on and show them?
So because I run my own business online, mm-hmm. and so much of my content is weight neutral focused, I think most people come to me kind of like at this point, knowing that I don't focus on the weight on the scale. So most people I get are people who don't care anymore. They just want to get stronger. They want their first pull up. They want to be strong, you know, in and out of the gym for life, whatever that might be. Or they do care, but they want to kind of transition away from caring. So I end up being the person who, like, moves their life to becoming more weight neutral, and giving them a part of their life that isn't focused on the weight on the scale. Because for many people, like, every meal, every exercise, every like choice is like, how do I look thinner or am thinner or whatever. And so I end up being kind of the person who, I'm the space that allows them to not focus on that and to gain self-confidence away from what they look like. So in my situation, I don't get it a lot anymore. When I was in a gym and I had more weight loss clients and I was kind of starting to shift more weight neutral, if someone comes to me for weight loss, I think the first question I always ask is like, What is the value? Like, why do you want to lose weight? I think is always like, because sometimes it's like, I want to feel more confident in my skin. I want to be healthier. I want to increase my like self-esteem. And those are all valid things, but those are things that we can actually improve outside of the weight on the scale. And I think as well, and like anyone who's kind of gone through a weight loss journey has probably experienced this. In many scenarios, you're always like 10 pounds away from happiness. Where there's always like more weight to lose before you're like, well, now I'm good. And I think people see it as like, well, if I can only just get down to a size, whatever, or a weight on the scale, that they'll finally be happy. And it's just been my experience that like, you just end up creating a new bar for yourself, even if you get to that level, and that it seems that the weight loss journey is not as fulfilling as we would hope it would be.
Oh, every single time. As you were going through that, I was remembering a client that I worked with really recently. We worked together for over 12 months after her initial Hashimoto's diagnosis. And one of her big things is that she wanted to lose weight. And through actually reversing her symptoms, we did lose 22 pounds, which was amazing. And she got there and she was like, five more. And it was a huge conversation, and I'm super proud that we were successful in it, because she was also terrified to strength train. And I'll tell you specifically why she was terrified to strength train, is because she didn't want to build muscle because she was afraid that that would make the scale go up.
Yeah.
And so her happiness and her success was very much tied to the scale continuing to go down, regardless of all these other factors. And she is actually, she had some issues, and so virtual training wasn't a great option for her, but she is working in her hometown with a personal trainer now on strength training, which is fantastic. But it is such a common trap that women get caught up in, which brings me to my next question. Have you at any point, or do you get met with, you don't understand the push to lose weight because you're male?
Not that specific point, but I do think there's a lot of questions on like, hey, like you're a male working with women, how could you understand the experience? And I can understand where that is coming from. I think and I've had to learn a lot in the process. So like, for people's context, I've been online for 5 years working with exclusively women. Helped hundreds of women one-on-one, thousands via content. And like, the journey does have different struggles than for men, for sure. I'm not going to pretend I have the lived experience. And so there's always kind of going to be that gap there. But I think I've helped enough women and done enough research that I feel pretty comfortable that I can make them stronger and make them more comfortable in the lifting process. I think as a trainer, I think our job is to help people who aren't necessarily ourselves, as much as we, you know, that's kind of the job of a personal trainer. It's not to train 20 versions of me. There's going to be different people from different ages and backgrounds and different goals that want my help. And my job is to be able to help people that aren't me. So I can understand where that critique comes from, because there are a lot of men that talk about women's issues, and just hearing them for 5 minutes, you're like, okay, you have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah. So that I totally understand, that like, I can understand people's concerns. I don't think this is a barrier so high that like a man couldn't help a woman become stronger. And like, that's just been my experience. Like, I work with women exclusively, they're getting stronger, they're enjoying the lifting process. I've had to do research on like different, you know, I've had podcast episodes on periods and menopause and perimenopause, and like, you know, just like different things that to help the people that I'm working with, like kind of talking about, you know, some of the struggles that I think like women have over men in terms of training. An example of that can be is just like the muscle building process is harder, not impossible, but there is like more of a challenge that exists there. In general, women are proportionately stronger in their, like, so people are stronger in their lower body, but women so even like more so proportionately. And so like, there tends to be more work done upper body wise just to mitigate that. But like, so I guess what I'm trying to say is like, yeah, I've had that critique, but I still help people become stronger, and I don't think it's held me back from helping people. So yeah.
What about the pressure? Because my journey started as a personal trainer. So I've done the, you know, the initial sort of certification as far as a personal trainer. I've done continuing education as a personal trainer. And, you know, for better or worse, as we've already touched on, exercise has been proven again and again to just not really be effective for weight loss, right? Especially cardio, right. Which everyone loves to turn to, because it does do things like increase hunger and cravings and all of these different things, which is a natural physiological response. But what we know is that strength training is really impactful for muscle growth and muscle maintenance, which is really powerful, really, really powerful for women, not just in their confidence and their self-esteem, but their overall health and well-being. However, I know from my experience as a personal trainer, you know, even in my early certifications, there was this push of, you know, this is how you train people to lose weight. So I imagine I've since stepped back from personal training for a few years now, as I mainly focus on nutrition, but I imagine there's still kind of a bit of a pressure from just the personal training industry to kind of conform, if that makes sense. I know there is in the nutrition space for sure, to just, you know, fit into this box of a personal trainer or a nutritionist or whatever that looks like. How do you stay true to like your North Star and what you focus on amidst all the noise?
Yeah, that's totally fair. I think this issue exists larger in people who work at gyms, because you don't necessarily pick your clients. Because I work online like 100%, like I meet with the clients beforehand. I make sure that like my messaging is a good fit for them. So I don't tend to run into that issue because people pick me because I don't choose weight loss. Like if anything, it's like, I'm like, the me being weird has allowed me to like stand out from the crowd. Where I get like, oh, I've never heard of weight neutral training before. This sounds interesting. I don't want to do weigh-ins. Like, this sounds great. I think this challenge exists a lot harder for you're working at a commercial gym and you can't really pick who you want to work with. And a lot of the times you're like, okay, I want to lose weight. That's like my, like, you know, and then you don't necessarily get to niche down. So I'm very grateful for that. I think it's good to, you know, hear where the weight loss people are coming from, because I think if we misunderstand it, we aren't able to actually help those people. And also kind of understand that the weight neutral approach is new to the mainstream, that like, there are going to be people like I talk to people in real life and I tell them I don't do weight loss and they're like, wait, so what's your job? Like, they're just like, they have no idea.
Confused.
Just, And so I think like, it's important to understand that like, this is a growing world that is not in the norm yet. And that talking to people like, you still care about the weight on the scale. We understand where you're coming from. You know, here's like a new approach. This is what we like, this approach. And then people can kind of find it on their own and at least know that it exists. Cause I think a lot of people don't even know you can go to the gym for not weight loss. I think like, it's not even that they were against it. They didn't even know it was on the table. I worked with a client who was 64 at the time. And she like her whole life just trained to lose weight in the gym because that's what she didn't even know the weight neutral option was on the table. And I was her first experience in decades of training.
It's always fascinating because I've got a client that I'm working with right now, and she came from, I'll just call it out, Orange Theory. And, you know, a lot of our mindset work has been around the scale, which is true for a lot of my folks, but she had been going to this establishment for 5 years who have been like beating into her head that a healthy weight loss was 2 pounds per week. And I was like, excuse me. And so she's very much had to take a break from any type of training or exercise because of the emotion attached to it and the mindset around, well, I'm doing this output, then I should be getting this result for it. And it's taken a really long time to help support a more healthy approach to, okay, we've taken a break from training. Now let's look at what it looks like to go back into it without this attachment. And if I do X, I'm going to get Y.
Yeah.
So when you're, is this common for a lot of the folks that you work with, or what is their experience that has led them to approach a weight neutral person?
I think for me, so I think the the experience that they normally have is kind of what you're talking about, where like the focus was weight loss and the focus was aesthetics, and that journey either didn't go well or wasn't as fulfilling as they expected, or and they're just like tired of it. They're tired of the weigh-ins, they're tired of the punishment workouts. They're tired of being told they need to lose 2 pounds per week, which is pretty wild. That's 104 pounds
wild.
A year.
Wild, yeah.
So that's so that's pretty insane. For the most part, I end up being like kind of the adjustment to that. I end up being like, okay, like these are still people who want to be healthy. They want to be strong. I think it's important for weight neutral coaches to talk about not just, they can't just talk about not training for the weight on the scale. They also have to talk about what are we training for instead? I think this is like a mistake that's common made in the industry where we do anti-weight loss content 24/7, which can be like part of it. But if you don't give someone else another reason to train, they go from training 6 days a week to never going to the gym because now they have no reason to.
Yeah.
So this is why I kind of pair weight loss, like weight neutral training with like, let's make you stronger. So now we're in the gym. We're not doing these lifts because they burn the most calories. We're doing these lifts because we want you to be stronger. We want you to be healthy. We want you to realize you're capable of more than you thought. And that's why we're in the gym now, as opposed to, you know, you overeating on the weekend and now you have to do extra cardio on Monday to make up for it or something along those lines. So yeah, to answer your question.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really hope the folks are listening to this very specific message of getting stronger in the gym or approaching your fitness, whatever that looks like for you, as a way to show yourself how capable you are. Because I know as someone who has both Hashimoto's and PCOS, there can be a point in your journey, and healing's not linear, so it can happen again and again and again, where you get to a place where you almost feel like your body is failing you or fighting against you. And one of the most impactful thing, and I will say, I have the privilege to have been a very active teenager through college and moved into personal training. So I tell people all the time, strength training, lifting weights, it's not just like a hobby or thing. It's a part of who I am. But I can say one of the most impactful things that I've ever done to overcome those feelings with my own autoimmune journey is to stay in that for the strength and to show myself how resilient I am and how capable I am. And I think that that's not just important in, you know, our physical health, but our mental and our emotional health as well.
Yeah. And I think it's also just like proving yourself wrong in a very positive way.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people come to me who are like just unsure of how strong they can be. And I would say mostly underestimate their strength. I think that's like
100%.
When they talk about what their, you know, 6 month or 1 year goal is, in my head, I'm like, okay, cool. That's going to be 2 months tops. And then what do you want to do? And that people really just underestimate how strong they can become with like actual, like if you're consistent with training, with an actual strength training program, you can lift a lot more than you thought you could. It's also not like a young person's game, which I think is also, I hear a lot.
Yeah,
where like,
yeah.
That's for like, you hit like 30 and suddenly you can't lift weights anymore. Or like, and I'm just like, that's like insane. I've had people I work with who started in their 40s, 50s, 60s, can deadlift over 200 pounds. Like they're lifting way more than they ever thought possible. I'm working with like a 54-year-old who's doing pull-ups. Like this is not a young person's thing. And the value of it's such a unique feeling to realize you were stronger than you thought. Where I kind of always talk about it is like proving yourself wrong in a very positive way, where you come into it thinking you're going to gain a little bit of strength and then you gain a ton more than you ever expected. And that makes strength training fun because you're doing things you never thought you'd be able to do. This is a whole world. Maybe you didn't grow up thinking you could be a person who could deadlift 200 pounds. And then you are. And then it's like a whole other part of your life that like you've entered into that you maybe didn't grow up thinking you would enter into. And yeah, just realizing your body is capable of cool things. I think that's it's a very unique feeling.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, especially for women, in my experience and what I believe is we are raised to think small, to be small, to do small things. And then you show up in the gym and you're like, what is this? Really recently, I do it to myself all of the time. I had shoulder surgery back in 2020. And then I had a baby last summer who's 13 months old now. So obviously there's been some various interruptions in my training. And this week, as far, I had a max out week. And for for those that don't know, when you're working in a progressive overload, we progress, we get to this week where it's, we lift really heavy and then we deload. But in my max out week, I picked up these 30-pound dumbbells and I'm like, I can't get these over my head. And here all of a sudden I am pushing for 10 reps. And it's always that reminder of how frequently, and this shows up outside of the gym, right? That you're second guessing yourself, you're second guessing yourself and you're actually capable. I mean, I'd been so weak in my upper body. I was like, there's no way, you're 2 weeks to do this. You can't do this. Cause I've only been back to lifting in my postpartum journey for 3-ish months. And I was absolutely taken away. I was like, I had no idea that I was capable of doing this. And I will tell you, I think that happened on Tuesday of this week and we're recording this on Friday. It has lifted my mood. And throughout the rest of the week, I was like, what else can I do? What else can I do?
That's awesome.
And it's just a fantastic feeling. But on that, when we talk about, I don't want to use the word appropriate. When we talk about just strength programming and using a program that is designed to build strength, what is your message to women who are afraid of getting bulky or building too much muscle?
Okay. This comes up. So I think there's, when they say bulky, the first question I have is like, what do you mean specifically? Sometimes they mean a bodybuilder. Sometimes they mean a CrossFit athlete. Sometimes they mean like a, you know, like someone very specific. And I think the first thing to worry about is if you're worrying about getting bulky and you're comparing yourself to, you know, like a top athlete or a bodybuilder, that these are very unique people that like most of us cannot attain their builds even if we wanted to. And so like, you know, these are people who train 6 days a week for several years, use supplements, might use drugs. Like this is the, you stepping into the strength training world and, you know, lifting 3 times a week for 6 months is like, it's just not going to pan out the same look. Getting bulky is actually really hard as a woman.
Yeah.
Like that tends to be like, it's actually like, I know women who want that look and they're doing everything in their power to make it happen. And it's like still a challenge. So I think, if that's the reason you're not going into training, I don't think you need to worry about it. I don't think it's like a, and also as well is that like, even if that look did happen, it would happen gradually.
Right.
So you could just do strength training.
You don't wake up one day as like, the Hulk.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, if you just wait, like just, hey, go through the process, like, see how your body changes. You can choose to stop it at any point. If you really get to that bulky look, I don't think you're going to get there. But if that's like the reason that you're not training, I would just like go through the strength training process, see how your body changes, and then kind of judge it from there. Because like, kind of like you said, like you're not going to wake up one day and then suddenly become the Hulk. Even if you did attain that body, it would be gradual and take years. And like, you can always just decide to stop it at that point. So that's like normally the conversation I have with them.
So on that note, as far as being weight neutral, where does folks that do want to build muscle, where does that fall into the weight neutral conversation?
Yeah. So I still care about them building muscle, but not for aesthetic reasons. Building muscle is just like a good health thing. Like just when we talk about insulin sensitivity, when we just talk about like bone health, when we talk about like everyday life, like just having more muscle is like a good thing to have. And I don't mean in like a bulky way, but just in like the more muscle mass you have for most people, like just improves your life dramatically. As well is that like, if you want to be strong and you want to see how strong you can be, the more muscle you have, it just kind of increases your strength potential. That if someone has twice as much muscle, there's just like a really good chance that they can lift more weight. Like that's so if you want to see how strong you can become, adding more muscle mass to your frame is like going to have value. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care like that if you're shredded or that like you have like, you know, like super muscular legs, or like if it doesn't look any different, it doesn't really matter to me. But if you have more muscle, it just tends to benefit most people. And so when I build muscle, it's not so you can step on a bodybuilding stage. It's so I can make you stronger and happier and healthier. And like, there's just a lot of benefits to adding muscle mass.
Is there any negative aspect of muscle building or strength training from your perspective?
Not, Not really. I think we could, if we could, I think we could be really picky and say that when you get to the bodybuilder stage and you have a ton of muscle mass, it can like affect mobility, or it can affect other aspects of your life, like in just terms of like, but like we're talking about, are you on the stage nationally for bodybuilding? No, then like this isn't your, then don't worry about it. Like if
Yeah, and
I
that's
tell
yeah, that's
people,
ratio to muscle to body fat percentage as well.
yeah, and also body fat is a huge part of that as well, that
Yeah.
it's not even the muscle mass. I don't, I think if we're talking about normal everyday people, I think every, if you add 10 pounds of muscle to your frame, like it will have positive results.
Have you ever, because this is a question that I get asked this question all the time, people will say, you know, what's the best way to train if you have Hashimoto's, if you have PCOS, if you have, if you're in menopause, all those different things. What is your response to questions like that?
I think for those specific, well, I think for everything, but like strength training seems to be the best option if we're talking about bone health, you know, making sure that that stays where it is, because I know that's like an issue with Hashimoto's. And just in terms of like, you know, insulin sensitivity can be like a side effect of those. It's literally like there's studies that the more muscle you have, like the better your insulin resistance is, like just like in full, that actually if you have a lot of muscle mass, it's unlikely that you'll have insulin resistance issues. So like it's a huge benefit there. And it just seems to, I'm gonna say strength training is the best for those specifically. Can you do other things and they have benefits? Sure, but I think if you only had to pick one, I think strength training is gonna provide the most value for those people. Especially when we talk about, you know, menopause and perimenopause, where like muscle mass starts to decrease, that like you kind of need the strength training at a minimum just to mitigate, but also just to keep building muscle mass, because people who don't strength train, again, like perimenopause, menopause, like post 40 age, like there seems to be that you lose muscle mass pretty quickly without strength training. And strength training just helps you keep, stay in, like if we talk about being independent later in life, like being strong helps you be independent. And being weak could be the reason that you stop being independent. Like that's the, like that's a, yeah.
Or leave this earth too soon.
Yeah.
I
It's
mean,
like,
that's, yeah, keeps you safe.
this isn't my quote, but I think it's Mark Bell, but like strength is never a weakness is like the, I think it's only going to benefit your life. Like
For sure.
especially, I think especially in like the 40 plus group, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, it's I feel like I'm losing my voice from, you know, talking to folks that are 40 plus and they're like, it's too late for me to start. It is never too late
No.
to start. No.
No, definitely not. And you can still become really strong. Like you can, you know, at least deadlift your body weight, if not more. Like you can lift pretty, and like that's actually one of the cool things about strength training is that like you can start late and still like lift a lot more than you thought you'd be able to. Like there are very strong people in their 40s and 50s who like started in their 40s.
Oh
Like
yeah.
that's you know, yeah.
And I definitely get it as someone who is getting closer to 40. I definitely had a woe is me moment after shoulder surgery and I was kind of taken out for a little bit of oh my gosh, I'm going to lose everything that I've ever worked for and now I'm so much older. But I can confidently say 3 kids later, a shoulder surgery later, all these different factors and creeping towards 40, I am the strongest that I have ever been. And I continued, I plan on continuing to keep pushing that as I age, because I'm not going to let age
That's
get ahead of
awesome.
me on this game. So as far as I'm just hearing some voices of some clients and some folks that I've had conversations with in the past, looking at programming, what does the process look like and how does it differ in a weight neutral approach to those who are showing up to the gym, maybe hiring a trainer that has been solely focused on weight loss?
So there's going to be similarities for sure. Because one, I don't really think there are weight loss exercises. I don't think that like really makes sense. But
Hoping
I
you would say
think,
that.
yeah. So like it doesn't, there's not really like a, this is the best fat burning exercise. Like I know things are advertised as that, but it like really isn't the case. Weight neutral training, again, is gonna, like my version is going to be focused on like why do you want to get stronger? What does stronger look like to you? And then exercises to do that. So like, let's say you think it'd be really cool to deadlift your body weight for the first time. So we're going to give you exercises that teach you the deadlift movement, that allow you to increase the strength of the muscles involved in that exercise, and then like slowly build your strength from there. So that could be something like, maybe we start you off with Romanian deadlift with dumbbells, and just to get like the hip hinge motion. And then once you've gotten better at that, we might add a barbell. We might do something known as like a block pull as you get stronger, which is like, it's like a deadlift, but instead of from the ground, it's like elevated a little bit, which makes it a little easier to lift from, and then kind of slowly bring you to the ground. And it's going to be a lot more focused on like, what are exercises that will make you feel strong in the way that you want to feel strong? Because that's different for everybody. I like deadlifting. I think it's a good one. But like, some people think they want a really big squat or their first pull-up. And like, the exercises we choose are going to be like, okay, what are exercises that will help you become stronger? Like, what? Like, that's the whole plan. It's not about how many calories you've burned, or like, are you sweating enough, or like, you know, no pain, like I don't care about any of that. So it becomes very quality over quantity, I think, compared to like people who train for weight loss, where a lot of the training is like 4 to 7 exercises per workout, like something along those lines, like instead of like doing everything in the gym for which honestly I think makes the training more fun. And truthfully, the human body doesn't move in that many ways. So when you have like 14 exercises, in my head, I'm always like, some of these have to just be repeating the same movement patterns. And like, I would rather you just like pick the best one, and then let's just focus on making you stronger in that movement, as opposed to picking, you know, 4 squat exercises for 5 sets each, and just like doing way more quantity over quality.
And I think, and you're more than welcome to interject your own opinion and belief here, I think for me and in my history as a trainer, one of the things that, and it was a mental game more so for me as a trainer, is I would show up to the gym, and each and every one of my programs was tailored to my client and their goals, and you know, just where they were on their journey. And here are these other trainers doing just like all these tricks and things like that in order to keep their clients interested. And really the things that are going to yield the results are basic, and they're simple, and we continue to do them over time. And And so, you know, to the person who's like second guessing themselves, because they're like, hey, I'm training basically the same thing over and over and over again. Should I be mixing it in and trying to do all these exciting things? Like, our brains want novelty, right? Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts, and what is your messaging on that?
No, I completely agree. It doesn't mean it can't change ever, but there definitely should be a lot of repetition. I think especially if the focus is strength, where like any skill, you need repetition. Like if I want to be good at writing or public speaking, or like how I get good at that is by doing that a lot. Right. And strength training is the same. We're like, how do I become strong in the deadlift movement? Is like, I deadlift regularly, where if I'm deadlifting 1 week and then overhead pressing the next week and then bent over row the week after, and I don't get back to deadlifting for 6 weeks, it's actually gonna be pretty hard for me to be good at that movement. And so I think this is a concern that happens a lot with people who come from classes, where classes always kind of change. For those people, like, doing the same movements over and over again are gonna make you stronger. And also it helps you to see your own strength. Where week one, you were lifting 30 pounds in this movement, and that week 8, now you're lifting 60 pounds in this movement.
Right.
You don't need me to tell you you're getting stronger. You can obviously see that in the weights itself.
Proof is in the pudding.
Exactly. And I think like that is valuable, because if we're going to be in the gym for, you know, 3 days a week, 4 days a week, whatever your training routine is, that like, you kind of want to see that you're improving. And the nice thing about strength training is that, you know, the weights kind of show you like, I'm lifting more than I was before. Like, I'm obviously getting better at this. But you can only do that if the workouts stay, you know, relatively the same. Like, you're doing squat movements, hip hinge movements, push pull. Like, so otherwise it's kind of, how can we tell if your deadlift's getting stronger by like your overhead pressing? You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it's you know, 100%. we have to We have to build that skill that is strength training.
What about the folks that are like, okay, I'm hearing you. I'm interested in this approach to training, but I still want to do things like run and ride my Peloton and things like that. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's fine. I think like most people can do both at the same time. Like, I don't think that there's, I think like you have to be careful about overdoing it, especially if we talk about like Hashimoto's or PCOS, that there might be like, if you're running 6-7 days a week and then also lifting 6-7 days a week, like you're going to run into like some just fatigue issues. Right. I think for most people, if the cardio is low, I think you can just do walks whenever. Like, I don't care. Like, go for a walk every day. Like, it doesn't matter to me. Like, it's not going to affect your training. I think you can still do both of those things. I have people I work with now who are runners, or they have other sports, or they like to go for hikes, and they can still get stronger. I think maybe how you schedule the training might change, where you have to really keep in mind, you know, are you going to do a marathon run and then do leg day the next day? Probably not. But you can definitely still do both. If you have, you know, aerobic hobbies, or you like to do classes on occasion or things like that, that's totally fine. The thing I tell the lifters that I'm working with is that, like, as long as my stuff gets done and the workouts feel good still, like, go do yoga or whatever else you want to do. Like, that's totally fine.
What is the minimum time commitment that someone would have to put into strength training in this way and see benefit?
I think if you're a beginner, you're new to lifting, I think you can become stronger on minimum 2 days a week for like 30 minutes of training, 4 to 7 exercises, if I had to just like be unnecessarily specific. I think as you become stronger, you might need to move that to 3 days a week. Not that 2 days a week can't work, but that as you get stronger, you might just need that third day to continue getting stronger. But I think if we're talking about like, you're totally new to strength training, 2 days a week, 30 to 40 minutes, like full body each day, I think will get most people stronger for a decent time.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting, even just in re-entering the strength training world postpartum with minimal sleep and minimal amount of time, I went back to lifting 2 days a week, definitely saw progress. But the interesting thing about it, and I get this argument from so many of my clients, first, you know, it's the time commitment. And second of all, it's, you know, 2 days seems like a lot. But once you get really consistent and you start to see the benefits of 2 days, first of all, your body starts to crave the third day. And second of all, mentally and emotionally, you're like, I can't wait to get to my next day of lifting. At least that has always been my experience. The more you do it, the more it's like, okay, what's next? What's next? What's next?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think 2 is a nice way of like, if you're unsure, it's a way to ease into it. It doesn't need to be super long. You can train at your house, or you can train in a gym, or hardy. Yeah, that's true. We're like, in terms, I would rather you were consistent and giving like 6 out of 10 effort than like go really hard, and then you're really sore and fatigued, and then you don't go back for 7 days, and then like you end up doing less training. I would rather you just like do, like 6 out of 10 effort for 2 days a week. You'll still get stronger as a new lifter. And then, you know, you get stronger. Yeah, exactly. Truly. Like, the amount of people I've worked with who went from never lifting in their life to deadlifting their body weight in 2-3 months.
Yeah.
Like it's truly that beginning phase. I'm jealous.
Yeah.
Because you're probably at the same as me, where like you have to work pretty hard to get like any results.
Yeah.
But like as a beginner, that first like 6 months to 2 years, depending on who you are, like that's like weight goes up every week. Like you can always, you can always get stronger as long as you're like consistent and improving form. Like you will, you know, this is what I always tell people. Like if you're a new lifter and you're consistent, you have an actual strength training program, and you're just like working on improving form every week, like you will get stronger. Like that is like
guaranteed.
Guaranteed. And it's a great time. So no, I totally agree with you.
Yeah. There are very few guarantees when it comes to health and fitness, as far as that, there are none with weight loss. But as far as like nutrition and all of the things, but staying consistent, building muscle and building strength, Like, if you follow the plan, and it's a good one, it's a good one.
Yeah, but, yeah, that's the, it's gotta be at least decent. Yeah,
this, it has to be. Not something random that you found on YouTube or something like that. But yeah, you're guaranteed to see progress. So there literally is no con, as far as I am concerned when it comes to strength training.
Which actually makes like being a coach for strength training really fun. Because when someone tells me like, you know, comparing it to the weight loss coaching, is that like, if you do the program and like you check in with me and we're consistent with training, like you will get stronger. I can like basically guarantee it. Like it's gonna happen. In terms of like being a weight loss coach, it's like, if you work with me for 3 to 6 months, like, will you lose weight? Like maybe. Or if you do, will you keep it off? Like also maybe. And like, that's kind of hard for me to like, you know, this was, it's, and then, you know, people are hiring you because they want to see the result.
Right.
Like then, that's kind of
you're absolutely blamed for every little thing that goes wrong. And it's like, I can't control this.
Which is so, like, strength training is way better that way. Cause it's like, did you do the program? Like you're going to get stronger. Yes, like, and it's way more fulfilling. And then you know, they start. Yeah, no, it's honestly very fulfilling as a coach. I think one thing I don't have to worry about as well is a lot of coaches feel like their body is their resume.
And so they always feel like they have
to look a certain way. Yeah. I think we all have at some point, like if you don't look the part, like how credible are you?
Yeah.
And in the weight neutral space, it like genuinely doesn't matter. Like it doesn't matter what my clients look like. It doesn't matter what I look like. I can plus or minus 20 pounds and like life moves. Like it doesn't affect my job. Whereas I have heard stories of weight loss, fat loss coaches who put on weight and actually affect them financially.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. And I will tell you, you know, I've done a lot of work on unpacking my own body image issues and all of these things, but even, you know, early on in pregnancy, when it wasn't public, there's still like those thoughts and feelings came up, and I don't specifically coach weight loss anymore. It's not my gig. It's not what I do. And then postpartum, it's still like, oh goodness. But yeah, that's a super, super hard thing for coaches. And I have to be, as a coach, super conscious around, you know, what's on my own social media feed and things like that. Cause it's really easy to be in this industry and get caught in the comparison trap of, should I be doing something differently? No, just like I tell my clients, we stay in our own lane, and focus on what matters most to us. And that is
your own health. And I mean, like as a weight neutral trainer, like almost no one has my niche in the fitness industry. So I think it's like, I'm always the weird one. Now I'm one of those people who like doesn't care and like will be in a space of 12 weight loss coaches and me, and like, I'll be totally fine.
Yeah.
But I understand that that's like, people like to fit in and like not be that unique in the space, let's say.
Everybody wants to look the same, talk the same and do the same. And I'm like, that's boring.
Absolutely. And I think it's like, the experience that I give for clients are very, very different, where it's just they're training to lose weight. Like, that's cool. Like, we're working on our first pull up and like, we're going to have more fun doing it. And it's going to be, you know, we're going to give value to ourselves beyond what we look like, which I think is also important, because I don't think anyone wants to feel like what they look like is their whole value.
Yeah.
No. But we do a lot of things just for our appearance.
Right. And I will tell you, it is so freeing to get to the other side. It is, you know, everyone listening, I know that there are some people that are listening that are like, I'm still struggling, but it is so freeing to get to the other side of this is my body.
I want to be clear as well, is that like, I'm not, if you have like weight loss, fat loss goals, I'm not here to like shame or like, I totally understand where you're coming from. I'm just hoping that like this episode gives you a unique approach, or like, just know that this option exists. That like, if the weight on the scale, if the weigh-ins and the transformation picks and the body measurements like aren't going well for you, like, I just want you to know that like, this is an option you can consider. Like that's kind of but I'm not here to be like, you want to lose weight, you're a bad person, like, or anything along, you know, like on those lines. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, for me specifically as well, when clients come to me, I will not tell a client that I will not help them lose weight. The most important thing for me is for clients to have autonomy and choice in their own journey and to make the best and the most empowering decisions for them, their health, and their bodies. And to your point, I think that in the world that we live in, that is just overflowing with diet culture, and we have doctors, you know, promoting it and pushing it, that there's just a lot of folks that don't, and gyms, right? You know, especially when we come to January 1st, that's their marketing thing is weight loss and all of these things. And definitely a lot of trainers in there because that's how they bring in clients and that's how they put food on their table. And so it can be really conflicting and confusing as a woman, as someone that has an autoimmune condition, to know what they actually truly want. And so that's my intention with every episode of this podcast, in my own work and in the guests like yourself that I bring on here, is just to arm them with knowledge and a deeper understanding of all the possibilities that are out there, because it is not just attached to one goal, one outcome, and it that goal of weight loss, if that is your goal, is absolutely valid, but it does not determine your worth or who you are as a human being. And that's it.
Yeah, I think that's always an important line to cross. I think that when I see people online calling each other fat phobic, I'm like, does this really solve anything? Like, I don't really understand
No.
what that's all about. I think the weight neutral approach is the better option for most people, but at the end of the day, like, you have to decide what works
Yeah.
best for you. Like, take the information that you have. Like, if people have questions about the weight neutral approach, like, they can message me and ask, because I understand for many people, I am like the first weight neutral person they even know of.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to like answer questions or like go from there, because I think a lot of people do have questions about it because every
For
other
sure.
trainer in their life is a fat
Yeah.
loss, weight loss coach. So I'm the weird one. I know I'm the weird one. So I think it's totally fair that, like, you know, I'm gonna put this approach out there. If people like
Yeah.
it, that's awesome. If people decide to go a different route, like, that's their choice and that's totally fine.
That's fine too. Well, Mark, this has been so amazing. I am so honored to have the weird one on the podcast, sharing your knowledge and your wisdom. And it's so refreshing to be able to listen to someone share their beliefs and their values and their stance just so openly and clearly, also without judgment. And that's I think that that's another breath of fresh air in the health and wellness industry. So with all of this, where can folks find you online, learn more about you, learn more about your approach, and potentially even work with you?
Yeah. Well, listen, thanks for having me. Like, I appreciate this. Like, you know, I love the work that you're doing on your podcast and would love to have a conversation again, if you
Yeah,
feel
for
like it
sure.
would be beneficial. There's a probably the main places you can find me are TikTok and Instagram at Training Strong Women. And then I also have a podcast that is very much focused on beginner lifters, as well as beginner lifters focusing on the weight neutral approach, called the Badass Lifter Podcast. All of it has like my
Love
face
it.
on it, so you can like
Love
see.
it.
Those are probably the best three places. If anyone has any questions about what this kind of training looks like, feel free to send me a message, like email, whatever. Like, I'm pretty good at responding back. And you know, I'm happy to clear up any questions or critiques people might have.
Love it. We will definitely link all of those in the show notes. If you are out on a walk or maybe even in the gym getting your lift in, don't worry about it. They will be right there for you to click on. And Mark, thank you again so much for sharing your time with me. And I look forward to chatting again soon.
Yeah, this was fun. Thanks for having me.
For sure.